This week's Sedra begins with a listing of the Masos, the journeys of Klal Yisrael from Egypt till the last station right before they entered Eretz Yisrael. There are altogether 42 stations where they camped, and all of them are mentioned by name. And it's interesting that some of the most important events that happened in these places are mentioned. Doesn't mention the giving of the Torah, doesn't mention the splitting of the Red Sea. What does it mention? It mentions that when they came to Hor Hahar, Aaron died there. And then they, were attacked by the Knani, who really was Amalek. But it would seem like that is not as important an event as the giving of the Torah and the splitting of the Red Sea. Why aren't those mentioned? Could be that the idea is the following, that the purpose of writing these journeys was not to let us know what happened in these places, that the whole Torah let us know in great detail. Why did the Torah now go over and mention these journeys, 42 journeys, where they camped, where they broke camp, where they camped again, or whatever? This represents the journeys of a human being in the world. Everybody comes into this world on a journey, traveling from birth to eternity. The Jewish people are on a journey, right, in Golus, just like the 40 years in the desert was like an exile from Eretz Yisrael. On the way to Eretz Yisrael, we're in exile, going from journey to journey, and eventually coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And it says that the future redemption will also be with journeys from the time that right before Mashiach comes or right after Mashiach comes till we finally come back to Eretz Yisrael. This is part of the plan of creation. It's interesting, it says that the 42 journeys correspond to the 42 letters of God's name. So one of God's names has 42 letters. And that 40, which we'll discuss in a little while more in detail what that means, and the 42-lettered name of God, one of the places it's hinted to is in the first sentence of the Torah, Bereshis Bara Elokim. Well, let me mention what that is, why 42 letters. So the 42-lettered name of God is God's name as the foundation of creation, as the creator. And therefore, it's 42 letters. 42, the exponents of 42, 7 times 6. 7 is the idea of time. A complete unit of time is 7 days. That's the creation of the world. 6 days and the Shabbos is 7 days. So therefore, whenever we want to experience something for a full unit of time, we do it for 7 days. 7 days of mourning, 7 days of rejoicing by a wedding, 7 days of Pesach, 7 days of Sukkot, and so on. And 6 is the idea of complete spreading out to all directions, 6 directions, east, west, north, south, up and down. Those are the directions. So the name of God of 42 letters, I think, hints to God as the one who created the world, created the plan in time and in place, in direction for people's journeys in this world. And all of the journeys somehow fit into these 42. Not necessarily the same thing's going to happen, but the places where they camp are significant in so far that they represent and they are parallel to all the journeys that every individual makes in this world along his way to eternity, the journeys the Jewish people as a people make in this world in Golus on their way to Eretz Yisrael, and the journeys that we'll make at the end of this exile back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay? They may not be the exact same places, but somehow, beyond our comprehension, the plan of journeys in this world follows this pattern. And that's why it says Eila Masu. Whenever it says Eila, it comes to tell me these and not something else. When it says Ve'ela and these, it means these, including something else. Eila comes, therefore, to tell me not other journeys, meaning there are no other journeys. Somehow, God, when he created the world, ordained that every human being and the Jewish people, right, should go through 42 journeys. How that works out is beyond our comprehension. But 42 journeys, that these are the pattern, these are the example, the foundation, the root of all the journeys that a person can make in this world, pattern themselves after these journeys. So it's not so much what happens specifically at each place, but it's the journeys themselves. And therefore, the only events that are mentioned are the ones that are significant, why that journey, why that station was a station. For instance, it says that when Aaron died, okay, they went back 8 stations. So it was significant in how that journey took place. They retreated 8 stations and repeated them. And that's because Aaron died. So it mentions that Aaron died because it was significant to the amount of stations and journeys that they where they traveled. It wasn't significant to the journey itself that they got the Torah at Har Sinai, or that the sea split by Kriyas Yamsu. Those were incidental to the place. But where the events were not incidental, but they caused the journey. For instance, it also mentions that they came to Elim. And in Elim, there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. So the Mepharshim say it's because there were 12, springs of water and 70 palm trees that the Jewish people settled there, that they stopped there. Had it not been for that, they wouldn't have stopped there. So that was significant to the journey itself, to the station itself. And same thing with Mara. Because they didn't have water, they had to stop at Mara, and that's when they were given Miriam's well. So it wasn't incidental. They happened to be in Mara when this happened. They were in Mara because this happened. So the only things that are mentioned are things that are significant to the station and journey itself, not that incidentally happened on that journey or whatever. What happened on the journey, the Torah speaks about in great detail throughout the Torah. Now, it's interesting that this is the end of the Torah, because the next book is really a review, Moshe Rabbeinu's review of the Torah, Mishnah Torah. So for all practical purposes, the Torah ends with the Sedra of Maaseh. And the Torah began with Bereishis. God created the world for the sake of the Torah and for the sake of the Jewish people, and everything else revolves around that. And that is the first sentence of Bereishis, and in that sentence, God's name of 42 letters is hinted to. And the Torah ends with Maaseh, where God's 42-letter name is again hinted to, because God set up a blueprint, a plan for the world. That plan revolves around those 42 letters of the name of God, where he ordained time and place for people to use this world, to traverse it from birth to death, from Golus to Geula, and so on. And that is the beginning of the Torah, and that's the end of the Torah. Right? The fact that God set up this foundation, this blueprint, and how it came out, at least the first time when the Jewish people left Egypt, and 42 journeys later were ready to come into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Degel Mane Ephraim says, like we said, that these are significant and represent the 42 journeys that a person makes in his life, from birth to death. It also represents the 42 journeys of Shaloh HaKodesh, and the Asara Mamoro says that the Jewish people will experience in Golus, from one station to another station. And again, it doesn't mean that we can count out the 42 and make parallel. They're beyond our comprehension. But this is part of the blueprint of the world. This is the way God ordained the world, that journeys, this world is a place to journey through. And journeys are predicated on the 42-letter name of God. And therefore it says also, the Rabbeinu Bachya on the Tzor HaMor, that the future redemption will also somehow involve 42 journeys. And it also gives us a belief, faith and trust that just like the first journeys, we didn't necessarily deserve to make those journeys. But in the merit of Moshe and Aaron, we were given that merit. So too, we may not merit making those journeys back to Eretz Israel. But the two Mashiachim, or Eliyahu and Mashiach, will, in their merit, will be able to do it. Just like in the merit of Moshe and Aaron. And it's interesting, Eliyahu and Mashiach is Aleph and Mem, is the same thing as Aaron and Moshe. And also they point out that it was another Geula, the first Geula after Churban Bayis Rishon, right, when we went back to Eretz Israel the first time, in the time of Purim, who were the ones who did that miracle? Right? Esther and Mordechai, also Aleph and Mem. And that's hinted to in Im Bechukosai Telechu. If you follow my chukim, my Torah, you walk in its ways, then I'll give you these journeys with the Aleph and the Mem, the Esther and Mordechai, Aaron and Moshe, Eliyahu and Mashiach. Okay. So that is, and also there's another thing that has 42 letters, or 42 words, actually 42 words probably, is the first chapter, or the first parsha of Shema, the Ohavta. And there it says, Uvlechtocha v'aderech, when you walk in the way, the Dibarta Bom, you should speak in them. Bom is 42. So in the Torah that you're learning, you're going to find the blueprint for your travels in the way that are predicated on these 42, this idea of this 42 journeys. And that's why it says that when you read it in the Torah on Shabbos, you don't stop in the middle. The custom by many is not to stop in the middle of these 42 journeys, but to read them all together because they all comprise the name of God. You don't stop in the middle of the name and break it up. And therefore, the Torah ended with this to let us know also that the Torah is beyond our comprehension. A lot of things we can understand, but if there are things in the Torah that are beyond our comprehension, it doesn't mean that there's nothing special about it. It means that it's beyond our comprehension. The Torah says later on, Ki lo davar reku mikem. The Torah is not something empty from you. And if it seems empty, why in the world does the Torah go and mention all these places? Who cares? If it seems empty and meaningless, then it's only because you don't understand. But there's a meaning to every detail the Torah says, and especially these 42 journeys are the archetype journeys of all the journeys that this world represents. This world is a temporary world where people make journeys through. And that is, I was thinking once that maybe that's why the Torah is given a desert. Because the desert is not a place where you stay. It's a place that you journey through towards something else. And that's what this world is all about, and that's what the Torah is all about. The world and the Torah is the guide, the map, to traverse this desert to get to where you're going. It's a place for journeys. That's what this world is all about. And the journeys have two purposes to them. The journeys, like from Egypt, they had a purpose to get us away from Egypt, to take the Egypt out of us, because in Egypt we were steeped in defilement, impurity, and we had to get away from that. And it also, the journeys brought us closer to Eretz Israel, to the purity of Eretz Israel. So there was an element of sur meira, of going away from the negative, and there was an element of aseh tov, of going towards the positive. And that's what the Torah says. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, it says Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, motzoehem lemasehem, their leavings according to their journeys, to their going, meaning putting the emphasis on going away from Mitzrayim in these journeys. And then it says, Eile Masehem Lemotzoehem, the opposite. These are the journeys vis-a-vis their leaving. Meaning, sometimes you have to emphasize where you're going away from, and sometimes you have to emphasize where you're going to. Both things were important. The journeys serve two purposes. Get us away from Mitzrayim, get us closer to Eretz Yisrael, not just in geography, not just in place, but in level, in spiritual level too. And the same thing goes with the Golus. Golus, on the one hand, is to take us away from the negatives that caused the destruction and the exile, and at the same time to prepare us to be able to come back and benefit from a Beis HaMikdash or whatever. It's to take away the negative and to plant within us the positive. Both of those things. The same thing goes for a person's individual journey in this world. A person's born, he's immature, right? His Yetzer Hara basically rules him. He doesn't have seichel, he doesn't have... And we're going away from that status. To get farther and farther away from the negative. Now, they say that a person comes into this world with his fist clenched. And the last thing the Chevra Kedusha does before they bury somebody is make sure that his hand is open when he leaves the world. We come from immaturity where everything is me, a baby. Everything centers around what it wants. And maturity is being able to understand how to open that hand and be concerned about others, not just yourself. So we travel from this world from immaturity to maturity, from the negatives that we come into this world with to the positive, and we also travel towards the positive. So we're going away from the negative and towards the positive. Same idea. And that's why both are significant. Masehem lemotzoehem and motzoehem lemasehem. The goings away and the goings to. Each of them are significant. Now, to make this more detailed, I found amongst the commentaries seven reasons why these stations, these journeys, were mentioned. Aside from the general idea that we just mentioned, seven specific ideas, and each one corresponds to what we can learn from it in our journeys personally and as a nation in Golus. In addition, the name of God, the 42-letter name of God, you're familiar with it because it is contained in the tefillah of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. He was a Tana, Rav Nechunya ben Akana, and he composed a tefillah where the first letters of each word are the 42 letters of God's name. What's the name of that tefillah? Ana Bekoach. Ana, Bekoach, Gedulas Yemincha, Tatir Tzrura is six letters. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Yud, Tav, Tzadik. Those are the first six letters of the 42 letters named of God. There are seven verses of six letters each, 42 letters. And that's why when we finish saying that prayer, we say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchusol Yolam Voed, because you just mentioned God's name of 42 letters. I'm going to show you there's seven ideas, seven reasons why these journeys were mentioned and their counterpart in how what we can learn from it in Golus, in our journeys in Golus. And I think we can correspond each of these reasons to one of the sentences, one of the verses of Ana Bekoach. Let's see now how that works. The first two reasons are brought down by Rashi. Rashi quotes Rav Moshe HaDarshan, and he says that the first idea is to teach us that even though God decreed against us to stay in the desert for 40 years, he didn't bother us unnecessarily. And in the entire 40 years, The majority of the 40 years, there were only 20 journeys that we made in those 40 years. He shows that the main ones were before the Xavier of the Meraglim, right? And after that, there basically were 20 left in the span of 40 years, which wasn't unduly bothersome. And the idea, I think, is that that the purpose of these journeys is not to bother us. But if the journey was there, it was necessary. And every station along the way, God saw was necessary to get us away from Mitzrayim, physically and spiritually, give us something that needed to be accomplished, and bring us closer to Eretz Yisrael. There was no journey that was for no purpose. Just stam to bother us. Even though the purpose was galus, was a punishment, but God did not bother us unnecessarily, and if we had to change place and be in another place, there was a reason for it. Now, that echoes with Gabi Galus the following. I saw this in a sefer, I don't remember the name of the sefer, but many years ago I saw the following. It's not mine, I saw it somewhere else. It says that Shvur Malka, the king of Persia, was once making fun of Shmuel, who is friendly with Shmuel, the Amora, and he said to him, you know, your Mashiach has taken a long time to come, probably because his donkey is so slow. Maybe I'll give him one of my nice white steeds from my my cavalry, right, my stables, and maybe he'll come a little bit faster. He was digging him. So Shmuel said, yeah, probably he would come a little bit faster if you gave him one of your nice horses, but your horse would not have the beautiful colors that Mashiach's donkey has. That's the Gemara. So I saw in this sefer that he explained it in the following way. He said that the fact that Mashiach is not coming is because we're not ready. And God ordained that we need to be in different places in this world, and each place adds a different color, a different shade to what the Jewish people need to be able to get back to Eretz Yisrael. Both to correct the negatives, why we went into Galus, and to add to the positives that we'll need to get back to Eretz Yisrael. Those are the beautiful colors of Mashiach's donkey. Subsequently, I saw that the Michta Meliyahu says that Jews in Galus, the influence that God influences us comes through the angels that are in charge of that nation where we are in Galus. And therefore, our service to God is colored by the place that we are. And therefore, the kind of service to God that developed in Germany was not the same kind of service to God that developed in Poland. And the same kind in Poland or Lithuania wasn't the same kind that developed in Russia. He said the Russian people are more emotional. That's why Hasidus, which is the more emotional perspective of Judaism, grew up in Russia. Whereas the more analytical kind of scholarship was more Lithuanian. And the German were more strict and time-oriented, you know, everything on time and precision. That is the hallmark of German, Yekisha Jewry. And it's not a negative thing. It's that the Jewish people could have gotten all these influences directly from Eretz Yisrael, had we merited. In Eretz Yisrael, the influence comes directly from God and is multicolored. But in Chutz La'aretz, it comes through angels, and therefore each place has its specific influence. And the Jewish people need all those influences, and eventually will bring back all those things to Eretz Yisrael with us. And therefore, those influences, if used properly, can take us, away from the negatives that cause the galus, bring us towards the positives that will get us out of the galus. On the other hand, if we use them improperly, we can take the bad from the nations of the world and copy them in a negative way. That's the second reason for these masos. And that is, this idea, I think, is inherent in the following verse of Anavakoah. kabel rinas amcha, sagveinu tahareinu nora. Accept the prayer of your nation and uplift them and purify them. So this is the idea of purification. The 42 journeys are not to bother us. They're because they were absolutely necessary. We needed to stop at those stations to pick up baggage that we needed to bring with us away from Gaulus in Eretz Yisrael. So that is hinted to in that verse. The second reason is the opposite. Rashi also brings down from Rebbe Tanchuma, who said the following, that the reason the Torah mentioned these 42 journeys is because, like a person, a king who took his son to be healed. He had a disease, he had to be healed. And he took him, and when the way back, after he's finished being healed, they reminisced of all the places they were. Here you had a fever, and here was a problem, and here was a different problem. And they went through the places in order to remember all the difficulties they had along the way. Now that is the opposite, I think. That Jews are in these 42 journeys, and they can use them in a negative way, and then God has to compensate for that with punishments, with all different kinds of tikkunim, right, with treatments. So now we're going back over and showing how each place was necessary for treatment if we didn't use that place the proper way. And the goal is the same thing. We're going to go through 42. If we use them properly, each place can add to us something that will bring us closer to Eretz Yisrael. But if we don't use it properly, then we're going to need each place to have a treatment that will get us far away from the sickness that we have. Try to get away from Gaulus. So that's the other thing. And the same thing goes in life. Right? People need to get away from the negatives. And there are different journeys where a person has the choice to use it properly or improperly, and he has to do both. He has to use it properly and get away from the improper, and treat himself to guard himself against the sickness that that place could cause. That's what the world is all about, making choices. And that, I think, corresponds to the next verse. The verse of Ona b'koach, gedulas yemincha, tatir tzura. Ona means please. B'koach, gedulas yemincha, with the strength of your right hand. Tatir tzura, help unravel that which we are tied to, and they say that's the Yetzer Hara. Help us get away from the Yetzer Hara. So that corresponds to this idea of the 42 journeys, the journeys that are treatments to get us away from the sickness. Then there's a third reason. The Rambam says in Moreh Nevuchim, the reason that God ordained to have these 42 journeys written, because in future generations, the generations that lived through this, know that these places were in the wilderness, and that everything that they experienced was miraculous. It wasn't what's it called natural. They weren't 40 years in the desert, on the outskirts of the desert, near civilization. They were deep in the desert where their entire existence depended on miracles. The original generations knew that. They lived through it. But later generations may forget and think, well, we were in the desert, but we were really in the periphery of the desert where everything was natural, close to civilization. So the Torah made it a point to list all the places so we can know where exactly we were in the desert, deep in the desert, not near civilization, and our entire existence was on miracles. And the Mincha Belula adds to that, and then when we go back to those places, if you can identify, they make a bracha that God did miracles for our ancestors in this place. The same thing goes with Gaulus. Person has to realize that our existence in Gaulus is not natural. That we can exist among 70 wolves, one sheep, has to be that we're dependent on miracles. And if that's the case, we're dependent on miracles, then our existence is not a natural existence. Then what makes our existence is Torah and Tefillah, and not all the other natural things that we can think we can do to make the Goyim like us. Right? What we can do basically is to minimize the damage by doing what's natural and normal and okay. But we should realize that our existence depends totally on God, and therefore what gives our existence in Galus is Torah and Tefillah, and not the hishtadlus of trying to get the Goyim to like us in ways that aren't proper. And that's and that, I think, corresponds to the following verse. The verse is, No Gibor, right, please, strong one, Dor Sheyechud Kekevov HaShomrein, protect and guard the Jewish people like the apple of your eye. That represents the fact that we are totally under God's protection, miraculously, and not living in a natural environment. The next reason, the fourth reason, is the Sfarno. The Sfarno says, it comes to tell us the other side of the coin. Yes, we went into the desert, the deep desert, where we really didn't have any natural support, and we had faith and trust in God and followed him into the desert. It speaks of the merit of the Jewish people who had trust and faith in God and followed him into the desert. And that corresponds to Galus, that we should have faith and trust that if God put us into Galus, there's a reason for it, and that we have to accept it as God's will, not rebel against it. That's why there's a halacha lo yalu b'choma. We're not allowed to return to Eretz Yisrael by force. As long as God ordained we're in Galus, we have to stay in Galus. Individuals can come and live in Eretz Yisrael, but we're not allowed to take Eretz Yisrael by force. Right? The Satmar Rebbe holds that was transgressed when we established the State of Israel. Most Gedolim hold that's not the case. The establishment of the State of Israel was not done by force. It was done by political force, political handling amongst the nations of the world, but ultimately the nations of the world voted in the United Nations to give us a portion of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore we didn't take it by force. And we were attacked by the Arabs, who wanted to take away what the nations of the world rightfully gave us. We defended ourselves. That's not called taking it by force. That's called self-defense. And all the wars since then have been wars of self-defense. So we haven't taken anything by force. But to come back to Eretz Yisrael before the time ordained and take back Eretz Yisrael by force and all Jews leave Galus, that's not forbidden. But as long as there are still Jews in Galus and we didn't take Eretz Yisrael by force, nothing wrong with that. And individuals can live in Eretz Yisrael even in Galus. We're in Galus and Eretz Yisrael too. So we have to accept and trust God that if he took us into that desert, he took us into Galus, into exile, that we have to trust and have faith that he did it for a purpose. And like the Chafetz Chaim says, Galus is like a hospital. It's not a great place to be, but if you're sick, it's a good place to remain until you get better. Okay. And that corresponds to the next verse. Yochid geye li'amcha p'nei zochrei kedusha secha. One, referring to God as Yochid, right? Look and be proud of your nation who remember your holiness. So it's to speak about the merit of the Jewish people. That's also part of the 42, the reason for the 42 thing, part of the 42 letters of God's name. The fifth reason, the Medrash HaGadol says, to remember Chasdei Hashem. Not just to remember the, what?
Can you repeat that last?
The last thing?
Yeah.
Yochid Geya. Yochid, the one. Be proud of your, and turn to your nation, who remember your holiness. It speaks about the merit of the Jewish people who remember God's holiness and have faith and trust in him and follow him into the desert. The fifth reason, the Medrash HaGadol says, aside from remembering that God did all these miracles for us, but there's another aspect, and that is that God did all this chesed. He supported us for 40 years in the desert. Provided for all our needs, clothing and food and shelter and so on, right? For those 40 years. Even though it was a place that was desolate, a wilderness, he took care of all our needs. And therefore, we have to also remember God's kindnesses in Galus. Even though we're in Galus, and they're very tragic times, but for the most part, Jews have prospered in Galus, and we haven't been destroyed, right? The Afgam Zos, the Torah says, be Yosem Beretz Oyveihem, if I have to put you into Galus, and you're going to have to be punished, and you're going to have to go through tragedies and calamities, but it's not because I want to destroy you. I don't hate you. I'm not disgusted with you. I don't want to destroy you. I want to see to it that our relationship remains and you don't commit spiritual suicide. Other nations have. God could just leave us like the Romans, the Persians, the Babylonians, and we disappear from history. But he cared enough about us to put us into Gaulis, into that hospital, and to give us the operations and the treatments that are necessary to get us back so we don't disappear from history. So we have to remember God's kindnesses, even in Gaulis, of how much kindness he did to keep us going throughout that long Gaulis. And that corresponds to the next verse, or another verse, Chasin Kadosh, the strong one, holy strong one, the Rov Tufcha, which your great goodness, Nahel Adasecha, lead your people. So it's a hint to the fact that God leads us with his great goodness, the Chasdei Hashem, the kindnesses that God does for us in Gaulis. The sixth reason is the Rabbeinu Bachya. He says that to a certain degree, whether these journeys are going to be positive for us or negative experiences for us, negative not meaning that they're negative in their outcome, but negative in how, in other words, are we going to have, what's it called, some kind of massage and sun lamp, or are we going to have some kind of torturous operation? Depends on our attitude. When we came to a place in those 42 journeys with the right attitude, then it was miska, it was sweet, it was Harshafer, it was the mountain of beauty and goodness. And when we came with the wrong attitude, then we needed Charada, fear, was named one of the name of the place, or Mara, bitterness. How the journey will pan out for us, sweet or bitter, depends on our outlook, depends on what we need. And that also is important in Gaulis. The places in Gaulis, right? You know, it says the Jew has to make Yiddish. He has to sanctify himself. If he does, then even the stations in Gaulis can be very, very positive and sweet Gaulis, plenty of sweet Gaulios throughout our history. But if we don't make Kiddush and don't sanctify ourselves and separate ourselves from the Goyim, but we choose to learn from them, the wrong kinds of things, and be influenced by their way of life, then the Goy will make Havdalah. Then the Goy will separate us. And the experience in those journeys, in those exiles, will be very, very bitter. So it really depends on us. If we're going to make these journeys bitter, or we're going to make them sweet. The same thing goes in life. You can't control the journeys, the stations, but you can control how you react to them, how you relate to them, and the mela, how they pan out for you. That corresponds to the next verse, Borchein, Taharein, bless them, purify them, Rachamein, have mercy on them, Shitkoscha Tamid Gamlein, your righteousness should always pay them. Pay them. It's a payment. You get what you deserve. It's also part of this 42 letters of God's name. And finally, the Ramban says, after all of this, why did the Torah mention these 42 places is something beyond our comprehension. It's a secret. It's a sod. Okay? This is part of God's will, that there be 42 stations, each one where it was, why we had to stop here, and for how long we had to stop here. It's the blueprint for all the journeys that we make as individuals in this world, traversing this world. It's the blueprint for all the journeys the Jewish people make as a people in Gaulis. It's beyond our comprehension. And we have to just believe that God is doing this to get us away from the negative, out of Mitzrayim, into Eretz Yisrael. And there's a reason for everything that's beyond our comprehension. And therefore it says, Lashem HaYeshua, the Chosid Yavet says, God ultimately is bringing the Yeshua, the salvation. What's our part? Al Amcha, we have to discern what bracha to make along the way. Sometimes we make a bracha tov ha-netiv, and sometimes dayin ha-emes. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it looks to us bad. We have to make the bracha that appears to us. But we have to believe that ultimately it's all for our good, even though it's beyond our comprehension. And that corresponds to the final verse, Shavaseinu Kabel, God, receive our cries. Ushma Tzakoseinu, and hear our screams. Yodea Talumos, the one who knows all hidden things. It's beautifully, this idea, yeah, we have to cry out to God in the good times, scream to Him in the bad times, but God knows the secret. It's beyond our comprehension. We just have to understand that somehow God ordained these 42 journeys as part of those 42 letters of His name. Like we explained, 7 times 6, time and expansion through the world is what's represented by these 42 letters. And this is what we have to go through as individuals, as a nation. It's the all follows the pattern of our leaving Mitzrayim, and this was set up as a blueprint with the beginning of the world, this pattern, and it's beyond our comprehension, but there are things that we can understand about it, the other 6, that can help us along this journey. Mirtz Hashem, if we understand that, and we use the journeys, now that we're getting closer and closer to the redemption, to turn those into journeys towards the redemption, and then we accept, and then the final verse, there's only really 41 journeys mentioned. The 42nd is in Sefer Yoshua, where we left Shittim and we came into Eretz Israel across the Jordan. So we hope in Mirtz Hashem that we'll get to that 42nd journey quickly, cross the Jordan, right? All of Jews will come back Eretz Israel, including Moshe Rabbeinu and all the Jews who died in the Midbar and never made that 42nd journey, will make it then. And then these days that represent the most difficult journeys of the 42, the things represented by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and our original going out into Galus, and all of the difficult Golios which we mourn for on Tisha B'Av, will be turned to days of happiness and joy and Yom Tovim, not days of fasting, but days of rejoicing soon in your session.
I'm thinking that we did take by force and practice because it was about making to have that vote in the United States
right.
About
if anything was a miracle, right, it was the United Nations vote. Who? No, he wasn't anti-living in Eretz Israel. He held that as long as we're in Galus, people who were born in Galus should stay there, not come to Eretz Israel, unless you are special, that you can live according to the standards of Eretz Israel. It's better to stay in Galus than to come to Eretz Israel and live not properly. On the other hand, people who were born here in Eretz Israel, he holds a mitzvah to stay here and live here or whatever, and he supported the people here in Eretz Israel, raised tremendous amounts of money for the Yishuv here in Eretz Israel. He also davened for them during the Six-Day War too, tremendously. But hashkafically, he held that the establishment, the State of Israel, was wrong.